Take your psalm books and turn to 614. And at the end of the lesson, we will have a word of encouragement to those who have never obeyed the gospel, those who need to obey the gospel that they may be free from their sins. They will decide to no longer have the love and practice of sin that once may have filled their... But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says some things about the Israelites. And he's making some applications to us as well. He says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And he's talking about the Israelites, those who were following Moses, and they were headed somewhere. They were headed toward the promised land. As we continue in our reading, the Bible says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. These words are warnings for the people of God today. These are warnings to help us to know that even spiritual people, those who were, like he said, were baptized under Moses, they were ones who were left the Egypt, the bondage of Egypt, were on their way to the promised land. And how that on the way there, the devil tempted them with lust of evil things. And the Bible tells us there that we should use these examples for us to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." With these thoughts in mind, we're going to look at part two of our lesson. What do you desire, good or bad? And we're going to look and see from what the Bible says about desires that we mentioned from last lesson, how that there are two types of desires, evil desires and good desires. And the word lust is not always used in a bad way. But here we're going to look and see what the Bible says about what the proper desires are. The distinction between evil desires and good desires that the child of God should always look for and practice in our lives. And I think this is one of the dangers of our youth today, with lust out of control. I want to say this at the beginning of the lesson. I thought about this. How that in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, here Paul told Timothy, who was a young man, he told him to flee also youthful lust. Now that word ephemathia again, that strong desire that can happen when we are young, as the Bible refers to as youthful lust. But he says also, "But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And that's really the point, isn't it? We're to flee the wrong desires, but we're to follow, or as the Bible says, a good translation this would be, but to pursue righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, lust corrupts. It defiles everything that it has touched, and it really corrupts us if we go fall into these kind of youthful and sinful lust that we're talking about. But I believe there's especially a danger to our youth, as the Bible would tell us here, as youthful lust. Why so dangerous? Well, first of all, when we're young, our hormones are the strongest they'll ever be in our lives. Really, sometimes someone once said that our hormones are working in all the cylinders. And that's really something that really think about, how that when we're young, it is a very temptation for us to give in to youthful passions and lust and have those things get out of control. And also it may be the curiosity about the experiences of life. That can be a problem with youth. How that there are, because we've never experienced some of the things that grown-ups experience, how in proper inside of marriage, that is, but how that curiosity the devil can use our own passions and desires against us, our desires. Someone once said that our wants won't hurt us. Well, that's not true, is it, when it comes to lust, that our wants and desires can hurt us if we let it hurt us. It can be also that peer pressure
causes us to give in because all of our friends and all of our one schoolmates, they are doing the sinful things that the Bible says not to do, and we may fall along right along with them if we're not careful and pursuing the right kind of desires. And also a lack of maturity on the part of us when we're young. That's really what happens. We make sometimes not the best judgments in the world. When we get a little older and a little wiser, that we can have the right and proper judgment about making good decisions. There's times when children make the wrong decisions. They really decide to go out and sow the wild oats while they're young. But that is the danger of youthful lust, that we must take care to watch ourselves, guard our hearts against that type of behavior. But I want to get back on the idea of talking about, though, desire for good or evil thoughts. You know, like I said at the beginning of the last lesson, we're going to desire something. It's in within of each one of us that we want to desire something. And we're also going to have thoughts. You know, there's no one that doesn't have the thoughts. And what makes us who we are is the kind of thinking that we have. Do we have good thinking? I wonder, the question of the hour tonight is, where is your mind when it comes to your thinking? Is it for evil thoughts or for good thoughts? And the Bible tells us that Christians and children of God need to have good thoughts. In Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things," or other translations have, "meditate upon these things." And so we must think about the things that are true and noble and honest and just and pure and lovely if we want to please God and serve God in the right way. Or we can have our mind, as some would say, in the gutter. That is a problem with a lot of people today. They are corrupt because of lust. And the Bible tells us we have escaped the pollutions that's in this world by lust. And that is really the cause of a lot of people's problems, is because they do desire the wrong things. Like the Israelites, who desired evil things, they wanted to go back and serve the idols and things. God said that wasn't right. They committed fornication. And that God said also that was not right. But in Matthew 15, verse 19 beginning, the Bible says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And so we understand it's from the heart. Our heart can either be trained for good thoughts or bad thoughts. It's up to the individual. Each one of us can lower ourselves to the thoughts of this world, and we can have some of the most heinous thoughts imaginable if we let ourselves do that. The Bible tells us, the words of the righteous Solomon would tell us, to guard our hearts. Keep it with all diligence, as the Bible would tell us. And so we'd be very careful how that we control our thoughts. Have to have good thoughts instead of the evil thoughts. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians that we need to bring into captivity every thought. That's what the gospel does. That's what God teaches us, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And how do we do that as well? It's when we learn what God's Word says, and that we agree that God has the better way to live our lives than to live in the thoughts and the passions that desires, as one said, serving divers lust and such. I want to look at some things again. How do we look at common things? Such as, how do we look at a beautiful woman when it comes to this, is the idea of looking at someone who's attractive. Now, I want to show you where I'm going with this. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse 7, the Bible says that Rebekah, she was fair to look upon. And another one of the Old Testament worthies was in Genesis 29 verse 17. The Bible says that Rachel was beautiful and well favored. You know, God had made and still continues to make beautiful women. And that is something we'll have to deal with, and I believe it's a gift from God. I believe it's something that's not a bad thing in this world. But it can be bad in how we use these things. In Esther chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible speaks of Esther, who was a beautiful woman. The Bible says, "And the maid was fair and beautiful." And how you look upon them, either in a good way, recognize the beauty and have pure thoughts about that, or we can be in the gutter, like we said, have bad thoughts. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 5 and verse 28. The Bible teaches us, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." What is Jesus saying here about how we lust and desire something beyond what is right and what's pure and what's really what we should properly? And there is this kind of lust. And the Jews at one time had thought, and like many today think, that whatever I think, it's not going to hurt me. I can look and lust at whoever I want to, and as long as I don't commit any kind of overt act, that I'm okay because my wants won't hurt me. But yet that's not true. Jesus says, when we desire, have that lust towards someone, and then we know what point that is. It's when we start thinking about getting alone with that person. We start thinking about things that we should not be thinking about looking at parts of the body that should not be looked upon in that way. And so that is the point of lust. And Jesus said, you can sin that way. You know, lust is just a sin as covetousness, but also as pride and greediness. All of that is a sin of the heart, an attitude of mind. We must really be careful, especially those who are men, because I believe men are more susceptible because of the attraction with the looks. And here the Bible speaks about this getting out of control. And here in 2 Samuel 11, we see a story about how when one should have looked away from looking at a beautiful woman. Here the Bible says it came to pass in the evening tide that David, remember who David was? David was a man after God's own heart. And really one reason why I'm saying this is because any man is susceptible to sin. And here David, he saw that he rose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You know, he let that lust of the eyes, you know, like we said in the first lesson, the devil will use the lust of the eyes, our own appetites and desires, to get us to do things we thought we never would do. And here the Bible says, David, I'm sure he never thought that it, because of something he saw, would lead to the sin of fornication or adultery. But here the Bible says in verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman. In other words, his desires got the better of him. And he seeks after this woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And this one says, he reminds him, this is a married woman. This is something that was evil desire that he wanted. And David sent messengers. You know, he overlooked that. You know, we think about that. In verse 3, someone said, isn't she married? And realized that she's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. But David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him and lay with her. And I want to say this respectfully, though. This was something that should not have took place. But it was something that we let sin get the better of us. We can find ourselves doing things. Sin can take us farther than we ever thought we would go and keep us longer than we ever thought we'd stay and would do more destructive things to our lives than we ever thought it possibly could. We know we've got to do as the people of God, and especially men. I believe all men need to do what Job did. In Job 31, verse 1, Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? In other words, why should I lust? Why should I think the possibility of somebody else? Because Job was a married man. Job was someone who had a wife. And here he made a covenant. He was not going to look. You know, one thing we know is if we stop the looking, we'll stop the lusting. And we won't do like David did when he sinned against his own wives, doing the things that he did. But here the Bible tells us we need to be careful. You know that song we sing? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what we see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where we go. Oh, be careful, little hands, what we do. That's a song that young people sing. We sing that usually with our young people. But you know, that's something that really does not go away. It's a valuable teaching lesson for all ages that we need to be careful because the devil will use our desires and our lust, that strong lust, epimetheia, against us in this way. But I want to look also at that desire to serve God or self. You know, one, we're going to either desire one or the other. You're going to desire to serve God and make that the goal of your life, the most important thing to you, or you're going to desire self and put self first and do selfish things and behave in selfish ways. And so we need to desire to serve God and keep Him first in our lives. In Psalm 27, verse 4, remember this from the last lesson? I want to read this again. Here David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." What a goal that is. What a desire that really is. That we would want to serve God and be a part of the work of God. I know this is talking about the Old Testament temple. You know, the same ought to be said to us in the New Testament temple. We understand the church is the temple of God today. The church is the place where spiritual sacrifices take place. And that we need to have a desire to serve and seek after God in His temple today. And that's something that should stay with us all the days of our lives. There's a beautiful attitude in there. There's a beauty of the Lord and see all the wonderful things that God has. But then there are some, and you may meet these in the world today, who desire to serve their self and their selfish interests more than anything else. In Titus 3, verse 3, the Bible says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts." That means many lusts. "And pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating one another," or hateful and hating one another. You know what the Bible's saying is? People live in a selfish way. You know, it usually revolves around this attitude. I'm going to do what I want to do, and nobody's going to tell me differently. You know, it's the attitude of a song that was once sung. I did it my way. I mean, in other words, I live my life the way I want to live. And if we do that selfishly, we're not living God's way. The Bible says about some who were like this, were sometimes like this. They were foolish and disobedient to God. And they were deceived all the time they were doing that. We can do that. That's not the kind of life that God wants us to live. He wants us to live a life that's free from that. Matthew 16, that's exactly why He said to those who desired to follow Him. There were some that came to Him, desired to follow Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." You know what Jesus is saying here? There, He's saying that you've got to deny yourself. Deny any kind of selfish or things that you might want to do that do not please God. And really, selfishness leads to a lot of sins that's out in this world today. Selfishness, I would dare say, leads to many or most all sins that man might want to do. And it is a hindrance to the very following service and total commitment that God wants for us. Look at verse 25 again, where it says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." In other words, if I selfishly hang on to what the way I want to live, I'm going to lose my life. But here He says in the last part of the verse, "And whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." We've got to lose ourselves in the sense of doing what God wants and put self behind us. And put other people first. Especially put God first before anything we do in this world. And that involves practicing self-control. You know, the people who serve God must practice self-control when it comes to lust and things. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." And that word temperance, I have underlined here. It means self-control. And these are the fruits of the Spirit. What God wants of His people to have is self-control for our lives. And He says, He goes on to say, "Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and the lust." You know, when you do that, when you put that to death, the kind of passion, desires we've been talking about, the evil kind, you don't serve sin anymore. You don't do the things that you once did that were sinful and wrong, but now you do the right things that God wants you to. And I want to say we need to have a desire, a strong desire, to work and worship in God's kingdom. Now, that's one thing that's important. We need people that will stand up and take the cause of Christ seriously in these areas. When it comes to a bishop or an elder, you know, 1 Timothy 3 talks about if any man desire the work of a bishop, he desireth the good work. Or he desires the office of a bishop, rather. And so that's something that's important for men who qualify or could qualify to desire that, because one thing I do know is this. Desire leads to action. Desire leads to outcome. Without ever desiring the office of bishop, you will not fill that role in the local church. You've got to desire it. You've got to want to be an overseer and humbly serve God in that capacity. But then also there is the role of the deacons. The deacons are a servant of the church. They are the ones who are needed in the Lord's church to do the work that's needed, so that the local church can be as a unit and work together as God wants it to be. And I believe we need men also who can qualify to be deacons, to be in the role of deacons. That is the way God wants His church to be. And also, men ought to aspire to be preachers. You know, that's something that we need. We need those who will stand up and proclaim the Word of God, not because of money or any kind of thing, that they want to do it just for a job. They want this because the people of God need those to proclaim the gospel the right way. And that's true. The Lord needs those who will go out and sow the seed of the kingdom. We need young people here to aspire to live so that they can do that. They want to study the Word of God. It's not overnight you can get up and preach your first gospel sermon. But it will take time. It will take effort. It will take desire for you to do that in order that you might do the work of God and help souls. Imagine something you could desire and you could have an effect through the years of how many souls you could save if only you desired to do the work God gives us to do. It's a wonderful thing to be a preacher of God's Word. But also, some might desire to be a teacher. You know, James warns us not that many should be the teachers, but that we should be desirous to be the teachers for the right reasons. We want to teach the flock of God. We want to give the sense of what the Word of God says, verse by verse, of the Word of God. And that's a wonderful thing. People stand up and to be able to proclaim and teach. Like I said, that also takes, just like preaching, it takes time in the Word of God and desire to fulfill that role. That's not overnight. It will take someone who desires to be a teacher to do that, to edify the flock of God. Or it may be in this capacity. This is not a, what you might say, a office of the church, but it is a work of the church. There are sometimes Christians who will fill this role, and we have several here that do a good job of leading the songs in our services. And that's something, if you are talented and able to do that, that's a good work. But you ought to desire to do that for the service of God, because we need that in the Lord's church as well. But I believe all of us need to desire to work. Young, old, all of us need to desire to be a Christian worker, a co-laborer and servant of the church. You know, we may not be qualified to be a deacon or maybe an elder or a preacher or a teacher, but there's room in God's kingdom for everyone to do the work that they can, either the one talent man or the five talent man. All of us can work in God's kingdom and do what's right. But we must also understand desire cannot get the better of us, that we do things that we should not do in the Lord's church, the local church. All this must be done under the authority of God. Colossians 3 verse 17 tells us, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And so it must be done under the authority of God if we're going to have the right kind of desires. Not as Cain, who brought the wrong kind of offering in Genesis 3, verses 3 to 5. Not as Nadab and Abihu, who brought strange fire in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Or not as Peter, as Matthew 17, verses 4 through 5 talks about how when he was upon the mountain with Jesus, he put Peter, James, and John, and Peter desired to make three tabernacles there. You know, he desired something, but it was a wrong kind of desire. He was wanting to do something. A desire to just do anything is not a good desire. You know what that leads to? Desire out of control becomes no longer in truth. We start doing things just, we have a desire to do this. We don't have Scripture for it, but you know, we have a desire to do that. That's the wrong kind of desire. And like we said, it must be done under the authority of God. Or it might just simply be emotionalism. It might not have anything to do with the truth, just we emotionally want to do this. You know, that's a lot of things that we want to do, we should not do. A lot of things have been added to the Lord's work and worship that should not be there, or even taken away that should be there. Because we desire to have emotionalism only, or will worship, That's simply doing things that we eat that pleases self rather than God. And all that leads to false worship and false religion when we do that. Desire has to be restrained under the command and authority of God. And finally, I want to ask you the question this evening. Do you have a desire to go to heaven? And that's really the question of the hour of this evening. Do you desire more than anything else to see what God has prepared for those who love Him? Philippians 1:23, Paul said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." This word we looked at in our first lesson, this is one of the times that the word epimetheia is used. He had a desire to depart and leave this world. Where did he want to go? He wanted to be with Christ. Do you want to be with Christ? Because it is truly far better for us. But Luke 13, verse 24 tells us, "To strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Let me tell you one thing about this desire is, some people desire only a little bit to go to heaven. You've got to desire a lot to go to heaven. Because there'll be some who will strive to enter and will not be able to because they're seeking to go in. They have a desire. You ask anyone on the street, "Do you want to go to heaven? You have a desire to go to heaven?" And they'll tell you point blank, I desire that more than anything else. But they're living the life the wrong way to get there. They're still hanging on to sin. They're doing things the wrong way. We've got to desire more than anything else to do things God's way. If you're here this evening, you're not a child of God, I hope that you desire to put away sin. Because sin is what separates between you and God. God will not allow sin in your life. You've got to put that away. You've got to put off these desires in order to please God. If you're here this evening, by faith in Jesus Christ, by repentance of your sins, by confession of your faith, by baptism into Christ to put on Christ, Galatians 3, verse 27, you can leave this place a New Testament child of God. Why don't you come as together we stand and sing the song of invitation?